Turner House is a big intergenerational family novel, and one of the things that the book centers around is what part of family tradition is lost through generations, and in this case, in migration. This family is from the south of the United States, and they've moved to the north, and, you know, things are lost in migration often, traditions and beliefs in this case, and one belief is in this haint, which is a southern colloquialism for ghost. And is it real or is it not becomes central to one of the characters' story arcs in the novel. He struggles with it well into adulthood.
Is it such a big leap to go from the south of America to the north of America for families, you know, culturally?
Absolutely, especially during this time. So this first scene in the book is in the 50s, but this family migrated in the 40s. And in the 40s in the United States, it's about two decades into what is now called the Great Migration of African Americans, who were in large number, were still in the South, to the North, and it's completely different. In the South, they had Jim Crow and segregation, which really limited where they could live and work, and in a lot of cases, whether they could even vote. And moving to the North, there were some freedoms. There was obviously not that. Those limitations as far as there was more freedom of movement, but there were different cultural norms. It was more of a different, you know, the South is a place of a certain kind of like religious expression and sort of Southern Baptist churches, and the North is a little bit more buttoned up, and there's a completely different climate for one. And just because technology is not what it was now, these were people, they were driving on their own trains and buses, and so the movement back from the North and the South did not happen as it might today. So it was a big change.
So in your book, how does the family change after they've moved there? What does it actually do to them? Does it bind them together or does it actually split them apart?
Well, this is a central question. Different family members have sort of different takes on this. Some people think that there were things that were kind of, that they don't, you know, there were links that were lost. There was extended family, obviously, that is left behind in the South that they really don't know a lot about. And then other people think that they're, the North is a place of progress and that things are certainly better. And outside of my book, just in the States right now, you see a sort of reverse migration happening with a lot of African Americans moving back to the South, which is fascinating for various reasons, you know, it's warmer and it's the cheaper cost of living, but also people feeling like they're just more connected to their cultural roots. So I think that is something that as a nation, there are pockets of African Americans in the North who are still trying to decide what was lost during those years of migration.
Because your book follows the lives of an African American family, and it's a generational chronicle in that sense, there hasn't been a lot of books written about this, has there? Because I'm thinking there's just so many books I can think of that about the white family and, you know, in this sort of thing. Why haven't black authors attacked this thing of just looking at this very simple thing of the impact of, you know, the social milieu on the domestic setup of black families in America?
There's sort of certainly been like seminal books about the black family over the last 50 years. And I guess other artworks, if we think of a very famous African-American play by Lorraine Hainsbury, A Raisin in the Sun, that was certainly about an African-American family in Chicago. And they were clearly part of the Great Migration story. They were, you know, the parents of that family were like Southern, and they were living in this northern city, and they were trying to assimilate and, you know, achieve home ownership. And there's actually in Brooklyn, one of my favorite books set in Bed-Stuy in the 20s through the 50s is by a writer named Paul Marshall. It's called Brown Girl, Brownstones, and it's about a family of immigrants from Barbados and similar sort of challenges of migration, which is fascinating because, you know, they were coming from another country into the States, but I definitely saw resonances with my own family story of like migration to the North. And there's classically, you know, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry is another classic sort of black family story. And even in its own way, Richard Wright's Native Son is a black family story. It also becomes a story that's also about, you know, justice and, you know, violence and like this myth of sort of black violence. But it also is about a family in one generation past migration to the North.
Yes, I did ask you that question because there's been quite a strong and positive reaction to your book, mm-hmm. and people felt that you've touched on issues that perhaps hadn't been fully explored before. Mm-hmm. Has there been a positive reaction from both the black community and the white community in America since this has been published? Have people reacted differently to it, do you think? Because maybe, you know, for instance, they don't understand the issues, or in fact, in some cases, they don't want to own up to the issues.
I've had really overwhelmingly positive responses across the board. I just got my first physical piece of mail from a reader. These days, people email you or they comment on your Facebook or whatever. But I got a letter in the mail. It was a shock and a surprise to get snail mail from a reader. And it was from a 63-year-old white woman in Seattle. And it was just her talking about how much that family reminded her of her own family. And I think that's one of the things that fiction does is it's very hard to read a well-written, not to say that mine is, well, I guess it is. I can say that. It's very hard to read a well-written piece of fiction, you know, a character-driven piece of fiction, and still feel and not being able to empathize with the people depicted. I think that you have to be especially sort of callous or unimaginative to still see those people's struggles as not related to you or to somehow immediately rise to a place of being defensive about it because, you know, you're inside of their head. And I haven't, they've kept it to themselves. So I've not heard really any kind of adverse reactions.